Hello, and welcome to the 80th episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. My name is Samantha Blackman, and I'm an associate professor here at Purdue University in wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana, where I talk about, read about, think about, dream about, amongst other things, video games, video games, video games. And I am joined tonight, as in every podcast night, by, well, at least one of my co-hosts.
The lone co-host.
The lone co-host. It's summer, things are crazy, and people are traveling, and people are doing all kinds of stuff. So tonight, I have with me Wendy, Sierra, and at some point, Alex Lane is going to be joining us, supposedly, theoretically, since she's on the road and on her way back. But until then, you'll have the Sam and Wendy show. Yay!
I feel like we need a theme song.
I know. We need like little dancing marionettes.
Mm-hmm.
Something. Something special.
I'll work on that for next time.
Yeah. Yeah, do that. We need that. So, Wendy, tell us about yourself.
I am Wendy Sierra. I'm an assistant professor at St. John Fisher College in the lovely Rochester, New York. And I can tell you, my friends from the South are already telling me that I'm spoiled when I've been complaining about our 82-degree heat wave up here. One winter.
Oh.
Yeah, one winter. I teach game design and digital media studies and intro to physical computing and all the weird classes.
All the cool classes? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. There's a strong overlap, right? If it were a Venn diagram, it'd be pretty.
Weird classes, cool classes, that overlap is where you teach, right there.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's some biology in the weird classes that I wouldn't call cool, but
yeah, they don't. It's not overlapping. It's not overlapping.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I get you. All right. Well, we'll start with our usual, which is what you're playing, what you're reading, what you're drinking, in that order. And we'll start with what are we playing? You know, it's been a weird week. I've been fighting this really nasty bug since we got back from computers and writing. It's been difficult to get much gaming in, so I haven't been doing a lot of gaming. Not console gaming, anyway. I played a little Mario Kart 8 when we got back. A little Scribblenauts with P on the PC, but played it on big picture on so on the TV. That's always fun, you know. So you can play it like big screen,
mm-hmm.
and you can serve cannibals in your little restaurant on the big screen. Yeah, but I've been playing a lot of handheld games, or not a lot, several. Oddly enough, I've been in this. This Street Pass thing. Mm-hmm. I've been playing lots of the Street Pass games on the 3DS because I've been Street Passing so many people. I guess moving around so much and like my little queue was constantly full. And then I had all my like little Street Pass coins to use because I hadn't reached my quota for those, so I had to get rid of those. So I had to, you know, pay guests to come back. So I played a lot of Street Pass games. My favorite ones, oddly, are the Haunted Mansion one, and I am oddly compelled by the Breed Your Own Flowers one, where you have Mr. Mendel, yeah, who comes and helps you breed your flowers. It's so cheesy, but actually it's so odd that it's fun. So I've been playing a lot of that one. And so those Street Pass games, and then I've been playing Bravely Default because Sarah, who's not here, has been bugging the heck out of me to, she's like, finish Bravely Default, you know, even though you have to theoretically beat the game 3 times in order to beat it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like something I would do.
Yeah, you have to beat the game 3 times in order to beat it. And I'm more than 60 hours in, and I'm on my second playthrough. I have to say, wow. I'm done. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to watch the ending somewhere, but it's not going to happen for me. Sarah finished it, and I think she was a little over 100 hours when she finished it.
Wow, that's quite a commitment.
Well, it's not bad for a JRPG, to be perfectly honest, but it's crazy for a JRPG on a handheld.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at 50 hours, I expect to be done. But, so, no, I'm not gonna finish that one. I seriously, seriously doubt it. I've actually taken the cartridge out, and I'm actually playing Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon again, because I never finished it. But Charlotte's been complaining so much about being stuck at a certain point that I thought I would go back to it and start playing it again, just to see if I can go ahead and play through and finish it. So yeah, I'm having a little fun with that. Luigi's Mansion is a lot of fun. You know, you have to catch ghosts. It's like Ghostbusters meets Haunted Mansion meets a weird Mario game. So yeah.
Awesome.
Lots of handheld gaming for me.
I've been. Are we alternating? Is it me next?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Tell me.
Well, I've been playing a lot of games just until I get the Steam cards to drop. I don't know if that counts. Like, I had one card left in Dominique Pamplemousse. Make sure I say it right. I had one card left to drop. So I finished that, and I actually played some Scribblenauts to get my cards to drop, and some Skyrim, and like a whole bunch of like, okay, 30 minutes till the card drops. I don't know if that counts, but the games that I've actually been playing, my family just bought Age of Mythology and Age of Empires for like $3 each on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been playing and failing at a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
Co-op against the computer, and we've discovered that we're about 75% as good as a normal computer in the game, right? Like, we can 4-on-3 the computer, but we can't 4-on-4, so I think that's how that math works.
Yeah, that sounds about like it.
That's math, right?
That's math.
I understand it. And I've been playing Prison Architect, which, when my husband told me about it, I was like, what?
Yeah.
It's like a roller coaster tycoon game, but you build a prison. And it was also on a Steam sale for like $2.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked it up. It's actually kind of interesting. It's obviously not as nuanced an argument as one might like to see of the prison complex. But there are some interesting features. Like, rehabilitating your prisoners is a really important component of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You get scored on your prisoner's chance to reoffend, and the way to make it go down is to give them things like educational programs, AA, support groups, things like that. So it's actually, I was expecting to be kind of like, I don't know, angry and grumpy about it, but it's actually got some interesting stuff in there that makes you, I guess, think a little more about the prison system, as much as you would expect from an indie game that's put out this way. So,
mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Well, that's sounds like fun. I've never played, I have to admit, right? I've never played either. But it sounds like a whole lot of fun. I like those kinds of games. What it kind of makes me think about is like the new Civ that's supposed to be coming out.
Mm-hmm.
The one that takes place like in space, because they're redoing this. They're redoing Civ. What is it? Civilization something.
I don't even know what they're up to now. So
they're up 26. To 6, but I think it's got a subtitle this time. I'm going to look it up because it's going to drive me crazy. Civilization in Space is what I'm going to put. Sid Meier's Civilization Beyond Earth is what it's called this time around.
Isn't that like when you've run out of things to do, you go to space?
Yes.
Right? Like, the movies do it all the time, like Jason in Space, Leprechauns in Space.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have Civ in Space.
That's exactly what happens. Yeah.
Hmm.
One of our one of the people in our chat room said she was a Tracy, said she'd be the most boring person on the show because all she's playing is this cheesy Facebook game called Ghost Trappers and Solitaire and Hearts on the PC. Not like we don't all have those days, because I have
I have
a serious Jones for Farmville 2. Is it Farmville 2? Is that the one I'm playing?
Probably.
But I'm playing it on iOS, so it doesn't link up with the Facebook game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy, because I've like joined like a farming co-op and real people.
I don't know if you can tell all those icons. I've got like Temple Run, not Tomb Raider. Right? Puzzle Dragons, Monsters, Candy Crush,
yep.
Angry Birds.
I had to put Candy Crush down. It was getting to be a serious issue.
That's like, babe, can we go to the grocery store now? Oh, 10 minutes? Okay, Candy Crush. Right? are you ready to leave the house? Of course not, because you never are. Let me play something real quick while I wait.
Yep. Yeah. For me right now, it's Farmville 2. And oddly enough, I'm actually wearing a, can't see very well, an Angry Birds t-shirt.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I don't know, maybe I can tilt down. I have my StarCraft t-shirt on.
Oh, see?
But, how appropriate, since I've only been playing RTSs lately. There you go.
And I've been playing small quick games, or at least that ones that you can quickly play.
Mm-hmm.
We must have been both thinking in that same vein. Well, okay, yeah. So here's a funny thing about video game t-shirts, right? Talk about video game t-shirt collections. So I taught a summer class, a four-week class, and my goal was, when I began the class, to wear a different video game t-shirt every day.
Now, are you talking semester. About... just not repeating t-shirts? So like you could have two Warcraft ones, but they'd have to be different shirts? Or are you talking about different games not repeating?
Oddly enough, it was only supposed to not repeat t-shirts. Mm-hmm. But the only game that I think I may have repeated, but it wouldn't have been the same game, but a different iteration of it, was Legend of Zelda.
Oh, okay. Oh, did you do the Loot Crate shirt?
Yeah, I did the Loot Crate shirt.
Yep, that was a good shirt.
So I probably actually wore three different Zelda shirts if I think about it, because I've got one that's like old school, I'd say it was one of the 16-bit ones, and then one that was from like Wind Waker, and then the Loot Crate one. I've got lots of Zelda shirts for some reason.
My most pinned pin on Pinterest is the Enderman Moving Co. Minecraft shirt from Jinx. I pinned that like 2 or 3 Christmases ago because I wanted somebody to get it for me. And it might be daily I get 1 or 2 notifications that somebody has repinned that thing. I don't know why it's so popular.
Minecraft.
I'm just saying it's awesome.
You know about me and Minecraft. All right. Let's mosey along. So that's what we're playing. What are you reading? I see that you're reading things.
I have been reading things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I read things between, you know, sometimes it takes a while for people to get the Age of Empires going. Got to read something in between.
Oh.
MIT has a series that I think they just started doing. Like, the first book was in 2013, the Playful Thinking series.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a bunch of, like, really short meditations on game design, which that's my key area of interest. Mm-hmm. So they're perfect. They're like 120 to 140 pages on a really specific topic. So I read Greg Costakian's Uncertainty in Games, and I'm in the middle of Jesper Juul's Art of Failure.
Oh, yeah. How are you liking that? Do you like that?
It's interesting. He makes a lot of big claims that I'm not sure I 100% agree with. He puts a really strong separation between gaming and formal learning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that he's building. And it seems to me that he's reworking the idea of the magic circle, right? Like that idea mm-hmm. that games exist in their special space.
Right.
Separate from the real world. And I think that that's, even though he is trying to do it with more nuance, I still am iffy about it. I think it's got problems. So.
Yeah. And I think you're spot on with that. It's interesting when people try to, you know, say games are this play thing that don't have any kind of real world application or formal application, let's put it that way. But then at the same time, when we think about human beings kind of as a race of beings, how do we learn? We learn through play. Mm-hmm. So to say that, you know, there's no connection between play and formal learning is very problematic. I mean, I understand that some people say that or try to separate or distance the two because they don't want to fall into that whole gamification trap. But at the same time, you have to realize and recognize that there is some very kind of real learning that can be applied elsewhere that takes place during gameplay.
Yeah, and I mean, if we don't have room for exploration and failure in formal learning spaces, maybe that's a call to rethink our formal learning spaces.
Exactly.
Instead of saying these two things are inherently separate. So I've got some issues with it, but it's interesting. I like Kostakian's Uncertainty in Games a lot. I thought that one was really interesting. He was just speaking about different ways that you can play with uncertainty in a game to keep your player engaged or excited. And he goes through different types of uncertainty and which genres might use one or the other. So
that
one I liked a lot. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
As you can hear, I'm Googling it as I speak.
That one, I think, is much more strictly design-focused, whereas Juul reads to me like he's really sort of doing a mini-manifesto.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I've been reading.
Fun. I haven't... It's horrible. I haven't... Well, I was reading stuff for class. And then after, you know, teaching a games writing / games design class every day for 3 hours a day, well, actually, it was actually more like 5 hours a day with office hours.
Yeah, you get your prep office hours.
Yeah, for a month, it's like I was just like wiped out. So I haven't been doing a whole lot of reading since classes ended, not official reading. But you know what I read is, what I'm reading right now, interestingly enough, and I'm reading it to P, is Vivian Van Velt's, one of Vivian Van Velt's books. Have you seen her stuff? She writes these YA novels about kids that end up in video game worlds.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, and we're reading one right now because this last one, it just like popped up on my Kindle. It's like, today, for $1.99, like, of course, it felt like they had, like cherry-picked that one for me and stuck it right on my Sprint screen.
Yeah.
Just today only, there's a special Vivian Van Velt Deadly Pink for $1.99. And I was like, well, we'll see. So, you know, I checked it out, and it's kind of interesting. It's about, so it's a YA novel, but it's about a young girl who is doing an internship. She's like 18 or so because she's in college, doing an internship at like the big kind of overarching umbrella corporation that like has gone through all the Vivian Van Velde books that I've read so far.
Not the Umbrella Corporation.
No, not the Umbrella Corp. Okay. No. This one is Rasmussen, and they make video games. They make, it's like, have you read Ready Player One?
No.
It's like the equivalent to the Oasis. It's kind of virtual reality kicked up 50 notches, and you actually are, like, connected with, like nodes and wires into the world itself. So her sister's gone in because she's doing an internship, and she's shut down all the fail safes, and she refuses to come out. So they send in the little sister to try to figure out why she's there, why she won't come out, and to get her to come out.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. It's called Deadly Pink.
So like Neuromancer for kids.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
Blade Runner.
My first Blade Runner. Yeah, exactly. we're reading that, and I haven't read it through the first time, but I've read Van Velde stuff before, and most of it is pretty benign, and I am really, really good at changing things on the fly. So if I come across anything that's kind of iffy, she never knows it. I can change a whole section of the storyline, and she will never know.
Mm-hmm. And then they went to the zoo, and they saw lots of tigers. Next page.
Yep. It's been pretty benign so far. It's, you know, it is not even the best YA literature I've ever read, but it's interesting. This is the second one that I've read by Van Velde that has a female protagonist. And this one has a young female protagonist who is going kind of on an adventure to save someone or something. So mm-hmm. it's right up his alley. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really right awesome. Up her alley. So, yeah. That's what I've been reading. That's the headspace I'm in right now. It's like, yeah, give me some YA literature about kids in a video game. That's what I can do right now.
sounds like a story, at least.
Yeah, it's a pretty good story. So we've been having fun with that one. So if you're looking for something for your younger person to read, or even to read to an even younger person, Vivian Van Velde has some interesting stuff. So if you got a Kindle, download the first chapter or something, check it out, see if it's up your alley, buy the rest of it.
I feel like What You Drinkin' is going to be really short.
Well, for you especially, because I see water. You.
Just water.
I've been drinking water all day.
I'm getting over the C&W crud as well, so.
See, you should have got the Z back like me.
I should have. Well, I'm one of those people that, like, I've got to be at death's door before I'll go to a doctor.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'll take some NyQuil. It'll probably be fine tomorrow. I'm sure it'll be fine.
That's what drives me to the doctor. Is
doing
that
several times?
No, I can't take over-the-counter, like, cold medicine. It makes me, like, hallucinate.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It sounds like you can take over the chemical. But maybe just not for colds.
Not for colds. Yeah, I don't do well with over-the-counter cold medicine, so I have to, if I'm sick, I have to go to the doctor because I have to get something to take it away and not just to try to treat it symptomatically for the most part. And the first time I went to the doctor, I just tried to ride it out. But then when I went back, just for a regular checkup, it was a pre-scheduled checkup. I went back and he's like, how long have you been running a fever? And I was like, I don't know. I've been feeling like hell, but I didn't know I was running a fever. Thought it was just hot. And so we ended up with a nice Z-pack, and that actually knocked it out. So I'm actually having my first drink since the Z-pack, which is, it's interesting because I had raspberry lemonade and raspberry vodka.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, but it was a little sweet.
Well, yes, it definitely sounds like it would be sweet.
And I'm not a big sweet person, so I opened up the refrigerator to see what was like in there in terms of juice. And there was the 100% juice, raspberry pomegranate juice, like with no sugar added.
Okay.
And that's, yeah, so I like put some of that in there, and it's really tasty. It was like, because I was like, this is either going to be really good or really disgusting.
I bet you could mix it with some iced tea. That would be good. Have you ever had
the whole concoction or just iced tea and raspberry
vodka? No, like iced tea and the raspberry lemonade and vodka.
I don't know about all that. That seems a little weird to me.
My husband just recently started drinking like half lemonade, half iced tea, and it's actually really good.
See, so you need a sneaky. Is what you need. See, and we didn't even have Sneaky Sneakies when we were in Washington, you and I.
We did not.
So you need, because that's lemonade with sweet tea flavored vodka in it.
Oh, that sounds good.
It's really good.
We went down to my husband's family for Thanksgiving, maybe 2 years ago, and we took some Firefly sweet iced tea vodka.
Yep.
And we were doing that with lemonade.
Yeah.
Some of the sweet iced tea vodka and lemonade.
Right.
And we told Mario's uncle about it, and he was like, oh, that sounds fantastic. I'm going to go make me one. And we were like, all right, the stuff's in the fridge. So he went, got a drink, came back, sat there, drank maybe half of it. And he was like, I don't know how you guys drink this stuff. It's so strong. And we were like, what do you mean? And he was like, it's just so strong. How do you drink all this? He didn't put the lemonade in. He was just drinking the straight vodka. He drank like half a cup of straight vodka at Thanksgiving.
Yummy.
Yeah. And then he was the fun uncle for the rest of Thanksgiving.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
After drinking a half a glass of iced tea vodka.
Yeah. All right.
That's what I'm drinking. All right. So that was the fun part. What you're playing, what you're reading, what you're drinking. You put this news item in. And it's something we were talking about beforehand.
Yeah.
So why don't you intro this? And I want to talk about this. This is a fun one.
Yeah, sure. So the Steam Summer Sale is on, which I think if you do gaming on a computer, you're probably very, very aware of at this point. There are some really awesome deals going on, including some games that we've covered in the past. Child of Light was 25% off. Didn't grab it yet. I'm hoping it goes to at least 50.
Yeah.
Brothers was $2.50, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was on like a 80% sale. So some really good games on the Steam sale. One of the things that I noted was that the last vote, the 8-hour sale that's on right now, the community voted for story-rich female protagonist games. Which is something that I would like to see more of, right? And it's something that I'd really like to support. And I did actually vote for this particular sale. But their four games that fall under story-rich female protagonist are Walking Dead Season 2, Mass Effect, Gone Home, and Dragon Age. Well, two out of the four of those aren't really female protagonist games.
No.
You can play a female character, sure. But I wouldn't call, like, World of Warcraft a female protagonist game.
True.
Right? It's just an interesting grouping there.
Yeah, it's interesting that they have, it seems like they have made a concerted effort to group games in the flash sales by calling them female something, because this is not the first one I've seen. I noticed that there have been one or two others that have popped up over the course of the last couple of days. It's like, you know, strong female storyline or strong, and I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting that they are kind of particularly marketing those games in this way. So I'm not quite sure how to take that. It's been interesting. I don't know if it is something that we see as a positive and say, wow, they're just, you know, they're trying to market these games toward women, and of course that's the sarcastic person in me that, or not sarcastic, the pessimist in me, or the blah, blah, blah. Pessimist in me is what I want to say. The pessimist in me that wants to think that, oh, they're just kind of playing to, you know, a hot topic at the time, rather than it being a real attempt. Because, like you said, the four games that they put in for story-rich female protagonists were Walking Dead Season 2 and Gone Home, which do have female protagonists, and Mass Effect and Dragon Age, which don't, and don't even have female protagonists by default. Right, and that there are other games that they could have chosen that did have, that were story rich and have strong female protagonists. They were choosing indie games or even some of the other AAA titles.
Well, that would have been a great place for Child of Light.
Yeah, and they just
story rich female protagonists.
Absolutely, yeah. And they just totally didn't go for that.
Yeah, or even the new one by the same people that did Bastion. I can't recall the name right now.
Transistor.
Yeah. So there are definitely options out there that would totally fit that category, right? Sometimes they have categories that don't make any sense, and you're like, okay, you just got a random group of games together,
right?
And you named it something. But there are actually a lot of really great story-rich female protagonist games out there right now.
And two of those are not them.
Yeah, and those aren't them. At least half of them. Yeah, I want to see this as a positive. I want to say, like, you know, I'm glad that they're pointing this out and noticing it, and kind of highlighting, right? Because on one hand, you could read it as, like, responding to a need. People want this. People are asking for this. So we are grouping things. Here you go. But I'm with you. The realist in me tends to say, you know, with the tropes for women in video games and some of the very poorly chosen words of developers recently, it's a hot button issue, and
yeah,
so we see it showing up there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think that will probably, the poorly chosen words of developers as of late will probably come up in our in our topic this week.
Yeah. Well, should we roll on into that?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good segue.
Segue?
Because that's the way segue is spelled.
Oh. Segue.
Segue. That's just me being crazy. So, we're late because we've had all kinds of fun issues going on, but I thought it would still be fun to run with our E3 episode, but do it in a different way, not to just do look what everybody came out with in E3, but just kind of go through and talk about some of the things that we saw at E3. You know, what are some of the things we're looking forward to most? What are some things we're looking forward to least? What did we think was the best and worst of E3, and anything else that comes to mind? And I'm going to choose a question out of a list that we have here, and I'll start, and then Wendy and I can answer those and see how we go from there. Does that sound like a plan to you, Wendy?
Sounds good. Let's roll.
Okay. So, E3. Lots of stuff came out. Lots of great trailers. What are you looking forward to most?
Do I have to start?
Yeah, you have to start.
I have to say that there actually was not a whole lot from E3 that I was super excited about. Yeah, well, in part because I'm doing a lot more indie games recently.
Yeah.
Right. So a lot of the stuff that I'm excited about recently is stuff that I've just funded on Kickstarter and not necessarily stuff I saw at E3. Although I did see that the China Room, the people that did Dear Esther and Machine for Pigs,
mm-hmm.
the new one coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of it now, but that looked interesting. Yeah, I feel like I can tell you a lot more about what I'm not excited about. The one thing that I wanted to be excited about, well, two things I wanted to be excited about were not at E3. No Fallout sequel.
No.
None.
Sorry.
And no Elder Scrolls sequel.
Well, you just got ESO.
Yeah. That's a whole nother topic. There is a horror game coming out. Bethesda, the distributor, not Bethesda, the studio, The Evil Within.
Mm-hmm.
Working with the original designer for Resident Evil. But I don't think they showed much new at E3. I think it was all old footage.
No. Well, there was some stuff. But
it was mostly stuff they'd already shown, though.
Yeah. A lot of it was. I think that this is going to sound really odd. It's going to sound really bad, considering the fact that I've already been down this road twice. Okay, so I thought originally what I was going to be most excited for was going to be some AAA title that was going to, like, grab me and pull me in the way Watch Dogs did last year and have me all excited. And then I said, well, maybe, since that wasn't the case, maybe it would be an indie title. But there wasn't a whole lot in terms of indie titles that they showed us at E3. So I have to say, okay, here we go. One of the things that I have been most drawn to and drawn in by at E3, and I shouldn't be, Amiibos. The little...
yeah.
The little Nintendo Skylander doohickeys. Okay, because I have a whole metric shit ton of Skylanders. And I have a whole metric shit ton of those Disney Infinity dolls. And I really don't like Disney Infinity. I do not. But we buy those because P likes them. And she likes them more just to play with them as the figures than she does to play the game, because even she doesn't really like the games.
Even she knows it's bad.
Even she knows it's bad, right. But, you know, some people really like it. It's very strange. But, like, Skylanders, loved Skylanders, right? Even though, you know, it was the cute little figures or what have you, it was actually a good game. It was, you know, because you were talking about, you know, earlier, you know, how certain things, like the Vivian Van Velt was kind of Neuromancer for kids. Skylanders was a roguelike for kids. It's How to Train Your Kid to Play a Roguelike. So it made it a whole lot of fun.
I love the idea that you're training her to play those now, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it even kind of had its own
for better co-op in the future.
It even had its own version of permadeath, because your character got knocked out. It didn't die, but it would get knocked out, and you couldn't play him again because he was knocked out. So there was no way to bring him back. Mm-hmm. You would play them again, you know, on the next level, right, or what have you, on the next, you know, on the next field. But you can play them again during that play period. So there was its own version of permadeath. Get kids ready for permadeath. So I really liked Skylanders. I really hated Infinity. But these amiibo figures you'll be able to use on a bunch of different games. And then I'll be able to have a bunch of different little Nintendo figures. I'm going to have to put some shelves up on the wall in my game room, apparently, yeah, to put all these figures up. Because right now they're in canisters of different sorts all over the place, like under the TV. yeah, they need to be displayed. I got to think about that. Definitely got to think about that.
So, what do you think was your worst of E3 then?
Really? Assassin's Creed Unity. Say everybody's worst. Mm-mm. You know, no female assassin. No female assassin in the console game.
Well, you know, they're just, I mean, they're hard. They're just hard. Hard to animate. It's rough. It's rough. There aren't a lot of female models already existing for them to use.
No, it's not like they don't already have a female character in one of their handheld games that they actually did an HD remake for the console. No. They're too hard. They're too difficult. I understand. Women are hard, man.
Yeah.
Kind of across the board. It made perfect sense. It made perfect sense. Oh my god. What the fuck were they thinking? It's all you have to ask yourself.
Well, at this point, I'm just waiting for the next stupid thing someone says. I mean, you know, you had Nintendo essentially saying, like, well, gay people just aren't whimsical.
Yeah, not whimsical.
We wanted a whimsical world.
They're not a part of, you know, American life. Yeah.
Apparently that's totally hetero.
Yeah.
It's the only way to have whimsy. Yeah, oh, sure, whatevs. All right.
Yeah, whimsy.
We're not trying to make a political statement. Oh, no. Okay. Because it only counts if you're trying.
Right.
If you're not trying.
It doesn't count. It doesn't count at all. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It's all about whimsy and ease, so that makes you straight and male.
Apparently. Yep. Yeah.
What about your worst of E3?
I don't know. I mean, again, I didn't really follow very much just because there was nothing that grabbed me. I would say one thing that, and now this is like, I'm going to have to bite my tongue a little bit. Just tired of seeing so many sequels. Having just said that I wanted to see more Elder Scrolls and more Fallout.
Yes, you did just say that.
But, you know, I think one of the reasons that I'm really going toward all these indie games recently is I want something quirky and new and different. And I don't want a Halo 27. Didn't they say they were going to stop? I remember them telling us they were stopping.
Yeah, right.
They said that. They did.
Well, they also said Mass Effect was going to end.
Yeah.
There's a new Mass Effect. That's not the same Mass Effect. It's not a part of the same trilogy. It just takes place in the Mass Effect universe.
So then it did kind of end. My scare quotes. Yeah. Yeah, so I would say for me, I think that just not seeing enough exciting, new, you know, things pushing the edge. Although I am glad that Mirror's Edge is getting a reboot/remake.
Yeah.
That was a very cool game that I feel like not enough people played. So
I'm glad to see that it's getting the reboot remake, even though I'm not a huge Mirror's Edge fan. Because it had a strong female character. I just wasn't crazy about the game mechanics. Mm. So.
Yeah. Well, like a 3D platformer is a little weird.
Yeah.
That idea is a little weird.
Just a little.
But it was cool, and it did fall into that, like, kind of different, kind of interesting, trying some new things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we shall see about that. Mm-hmm. All right. Other fun questions. Oh, we already had. What are we looking forward to most? What are we... What about anything else interesting at E3? You know, there was a surprise for me that came out at the time. And it's weird because I had known nothing about it, and I don't know if anybody else did. Was the new Ubisoft game. The one that just came out like yesterday. Now, Valiant Hearts. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
Valiant Hearts. It's a puzzle game. Ubisoft did. And the way that they describe it is Valiant Hearts, The Great War, is a story of five crossed destinies and a broken love in a world torn apart. All of them will try to survive the horror of the trenches following their faithful canine companion. In Valiant Hearts, the lives of all these characters are inextricably drawn together over the course of the game. Friendship, love, sacrifice, and tragedy befall each other as they help each other to retain their humanity against the horrors of war. So the connection between these five different characters that you play as, including one woman who's a nurse.
Go team.
Because it's supposed to be World War II, I believe, is the dog, right? And so there's all kinds of the horrors of war and death and all this other stuff. It looks pretty interesting, but I know
they're
that
gonna break your heart.
I know. It's got to happen. Everybody's gonna die, including the dog. I know. I haven't even bought it yet because I don't even know if I'm ready for it. I haven't read any of the reviews or any of the spoilers. I kind of don't want to know because I don't know if I want to buy it yet.
It looks so cute.
It's a gorgeous game.
It's a cute doggy.
It is a cute doggy. It's a cute doggy. It's a really nice looking game. So
is it on? Oh, it's on Steam. Looks like it's on Steam.
Is it on Steam? I know it's on PS4 and Xbox One. I'm almost sure. Yeah, PS3 and PC. There we go.
Yeah.
So you can
I'm going. I'm going to see a PC. I have a list. I still need to get to Brothers.
Oh, for shame!
But
for
Brothers
shame.
Doesn't have trading cards, so it got bumped down the list.
What about Valiant Hearts? Does it have trading cards?
I don't know. I better find out.
That'll give you an excuse to play it.
Gotta get them cards.
Yeah, so that was kind of an interesting... That was kind of my... Holy shit, why haven't I seen this kind of... Sorry. Tracy, thank you. See, that's where my history fails me. That and vodka. The Great War is World War I and not World War II. this is why I'm not a history major. I'm horrible. So it's actually like I said, it's a beautiful game, and I was kind of shocked that I knew nothing of it. And I'm kind of excited to play it, but at the same time, I'm not playing it because it's not dead kids. But I think it's gonna be a dead dog, and that's just gonna be, you know, kind of high up on my list of why kill innocents again.
Yeah. I'm working with some students to do a project on feminist perspectives in anime.
Oh,
and
nice.
One of the animes they want to study is called The Wolf Children.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
It's so I haven't seen it. I watched the trailer on YouTube, and it looks freaking adorable. So it's like
gorgeous.
It's these kids, and they can turn into wolves, right?
Uh-huh.
So when they're babies, they're puppies, and then they're, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, all I know is that my students, we put together this project design. We actually submitted a proposal to a conference and got accepted, right? So we're going to do this project together. And they decided on that anime. And they hadn't watched it yet. But they were like, well, you know, we've got motherhood. It's an eco-feminism conference. So we've got motherhood, we've got nature, right? You know, we've got the feminine and the masculine. This one will probably work. So we're like, okay, maybe 4 days, 5 days after we got the exception, they all came in, like, sad faces, tears in their eyes, and they were like, have you watched Wolf Children yet? And I said, no. And they said, we won't tell you anything, but it's so sad. And I was like, "Oh."
Yeah. You have to watch
it. So now it's been, like, I gotta get my emotional reserves up to watch it.
You know, it's probably not what you think it is. I'll just say that.
All I know is that the kids are little puppies. They're puppies.
They're adorable, too.
Yeah, it looked adorable in the trailer.
They're adorable. It's yeah, watch it. Watch it. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and do it.
Bite the bullet. Okay, at the next podcast, you can quiz me and ask me if I watched
it. I'm going to quiz you to see if you watched it.
Yeah, Valiant Hearts does not have trading cards.
You're not winning. You're not winning today.
I'm not. User-defined tags for this game. Adventure, historic, 2D, World War I, dog.
Dog. Now I would be tempted to click dog just to see what else came up.
Let's see. I'm doing it. Let's see what comes up. Best Friends, Cats and Dogs. Animals, Pets and Pals Collection. Watch Dogs. That doesn't seem right.
Mm-mm.
Call of Duty. Okay. Well, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, the latest
Fallout 3. Fallout 3 had a dog.
Yeah.
My dog got killed a lot in Fallout 3. It was not good.
And then there was Fable, the dog in Fable.
Yeah.
But that was not linked.
I don't know. I don't think Fable is on Steam.
Not even like the Lost Chapters or something that was.
I think the Lost Chapters is, but I don't think the other ones are. That one was just on a Steam sale.
Yeah.
Didn't get it.
All right. So back to E3. Anything else that sticks out for you at E3? Other than the fact that there were no real games with female protagonists? Other than the fact that Nintendo oddly made Link look like a woman in their new trailer for Legend of Zelda?
I gotta say, I think I'm done with Zelda. Love it. Love it. Love the old series. Love it. Love it. Love it. I think I'm done. I think I've rescued that princess. I think I'm done.
What if the main protagonist is really a woman this time? Would you be tempted?
I might be tempted. If they were shaking it up, I might be tempted.
Yeah.
I even have a Legend of Zelda wristband.
Nice.
I have a Legend of Zelda bottle opener. Well, so do you now.
Yes, now.
I think I'm done.
I don't know. I like Zelda. I'll play the new one. This may be my last one, but I'll play the new one. I say that every time.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's how they get you.
And then the next one comes out. But then they brought all the badass women from other previous Zelda games in for Hyrule Warriors, which is, you know, their version of what have you. What is it? What was it? Sony All-Stars, where you could just fight.
Yeah, I think I'm done. I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I'm done with Nintendo. I think the Wii killed it for me. And I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I didn't like it.
Rough.
I didn't like the controls. I didn't like the gimmicks.
The Wii U's been rough.
I don't need another Mario game. I don't. Well, I really don't.
I need those amiibos.
Yeah.
I need the amiibos bad, so they're gonna get me. They're gonna get me for several games just because I have to do something with those amiibos other than put them on a shelf in my game room. So we shall see. We shall see. All right, we'll call that Grace for the our E3 roundup. It's gonna be a short episode. We never have short episodes. Somebody's cheering somewhere. Yay! The deals for Broadcast Gamers, that's an easy one. Okay, so I've got it's the Steam sale, right? The Steam summer sale. Everybody waits all year long for the Steam summer sale. And then
since the Christmas sale.
Well, so, yes. So they wait 6 months.
Yep.
It just feels like all year long for the Steam summer sale. You know what? Oddly, I have not bought a lot in this summer sale. I mean, usually Steam just gets like all my money. They have got very little money out of me this time around. I think I've probably only bought 3 or 4 games, if that many, so far.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, crazy, right? The stuff that I really wanted hasn't gone on significant sale. And when I say significant sale, I mean over 25%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I'm really crossing my fingers that Child of Light is gonna go higher.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's just that fact, or is that there's no novelty to the Steam Summer Sale anymore because everybody else is having a sale at the same time.
Because they know.
Well, you know, that started last year. Remember last year the Steam Summer Sale was really late?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was something like July, right?
Yeah, it was July, and it wasn't even the beginning of July. It was really late. But what everybody else did is everybody else started rolling out their own sales. Like Amazon did sales on all, they had their PC game sale, which is basically the Steam Summer Sale. Because when you buy games through Amazon for PC, you redeem it through Steam.
But not for trading cards.
But not for trading. This is true. Not for trading cards.
They've hooked me. They've got me.
They didn't give me for the trading cards. I have really never given a damn about those trading cards. I mean, usually what I'll do is I'll just like, people send me messages, be like, do you have blah, blah, blah trading card? Can I have it? And I just give it to them.
Oh my God, I'm going to Steam right now.
I don't care about the
trading cards. I need.
I don't care about the trading cards. I mean, I just give them away. Because they never hooked me the way like achievement points did or anything crazy like that. So.
Well, what I like is that you get... I chat with a fair number of people on Steam, and you get like little emoticons mm-hmm. that you can use. Now, for example, yesterday I got an officer, a moon, and a pillow, and I feel like those work together to become a narrative that I'm not necessarily comfortable with, but there it is. So I like getting those little emoticons, right, for chat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get backgrounds for your profile, and I like having the different backgrounds that not that anybody ever looks at my profile, but I like having the different backgrounds. So I like some of the little like flair that you get from it.
Yeah.
I did have a deal that is not on Steam that I wanted to share. Tale of Tales, which is the group that did, I think their biggest game was The Path. Have you seen that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a Little Red Riding Hood story told through the eyes of 8 sisters, and it's very dark and gothic and weird.
That is that one. I've never been able to finish that game or play very much of it because it's way too child molestery.
It definitely has that vibe to it, yeah. It's weird. So they have a new one coming out called Sunset. And the little description here is, explore a luxurious penthouse apartment against the backdrop of a violent revolution in fictional South American metropolis. So the story is essentially that you play a housekeeper, and you are going every day at sunset to do whatever tasks this guy needs you to do. You gradually realize that he is part of a rebellion against the dictator. But you're only ever playing that 1 hour when you go to his apartment to do various tasks. And they say that it is supposed to be a more thoughtful contemplation about war from the perspective of like the everyday person that sort of gets caught up in it. So it sounds interesting to me. The game is called Sunset, and it is on Kickstarter right now. It's got 20 days left on Kickstarter. And I think to get the game, it's $15.
That's not bad. So, that's actually really good.
It sounds really interesting. And it looks pretty cool.
Yeah? Okay, hold on a second. Yeah. All right. Hold on just a second. We're going to multitask for a second. I got to get my kid because she's like banging on a door. Which means I also have to turn my camera off because I'm pretty sure she doesn't have clothes on. Hold on a sec. And then we'll talk about all the other wonderful things we need to talk about. Okay, sit over here and I'll be done in a second. All right, back I am. So let's run
Welcome
down.
Welcome back.
Thanks. You missed me terribly. I know you did. So I'm finding the Kickstarter.
For Sunset?
So, yeah. But so to run through really quickly, I guess that's it for episode 80. And I guess what we can do at this point is to go ahead and figure out all the things we need to figure out, which is how people can get in touch with us. Right, so they can email us at nymgamer@gmail.com with their questions or comments or what have you. They can follow us on Facebook, right? Just look for Not Your Mama's Gamer. You can like us there and get in touch with us and see all the wonderful things, including our daily posts. You can follow us on Twitter at nymgamer. Also, you'll get updates about our daily posts, as well as information about when the next episode of the podcast comes out. And if Twitter and Facebook and email are not your thing, you can always follow us on Tumblr at nymgamer.tumblr.com. And there is a nice little applet on both our blog page, front page, which is nymgamer.com. .com. And on the top of our Facebook page, right, where you can leave us a voicemail and chat with us and tell us all the wonderful things you need to tell us. So until next time, I guess that's about it. Send us email, send us voicemail, send us all the wonderful things. We do get email from time to time. I have to find this one because I have to mention it because I thought it was amusing because I was teased by Jen because if you street pass me on my DS, you get... My little me actually has the URL for our site. And Jen teased me about that. And I was like, yeah, well, you never know. Right? And then I was when we went to Washington and came back, it must have been in one of the Indy airports. Oh, come on. We got an email from, there we go, 2 weeks ago, from Christopher, who sent us an email to let us know that he had street passed me in the airport and went to our site, and now he's a new listener. So, Christopher, I hope you're listening tonight or today, whenever you download this episode. We appreciate you. Share. Tell all your friends about how wonderful we are. even if today is just the Sam and Wendy show. Send us emails. I like the Sam and Wendy show. It's a good conversation. You get to know more about Sam and Wendy.
But I'm kind of a fan.
Yeah, me too. We love everybody else. Don't get it wrong. But the Sam and Wendy show can be fun, too, from time to time, I suppose. We'll have, especially during the summer, we'll have some weeks when we have smaller casts. But we're just damned interesting anyway, so it won't make much of a difference. You won't even notice. All right, folks. So until next time, when we roll around to episode 81, the all important things to do, especially with the holidays coming up, stay safe, stay cool, and as always, folks, game on.